Alrighty. Hey, gang. Welcome back, you guys. Episode 126 of Zero Carb Journal. I'm Matt, as always. Good morning, you guys. How are ya? Hope you're having a great Sunday. Hope you guys are holding up all right in your quarantine and maybe breaking out of it wherever you are. Getting out a little bit, I'm not sure. But I'm doing good. I had a good week, you guys. I've been pretty much just staying home. But it's been good. I've been productive, actually, getting out there and, doing firewood chores, working on my car, working around the property. Nothing very exciting happening, but I'm feeling good. I'm moving forward, daily, kind of still trying to, you know, stick to my goals and make some progress. I've been working hard on this stuff, on all of my video stuff. Hopefully you guys got a chance to check out my blood test video that I put out earlier this week. I'm pretty excited about that, you guys. That's something that I mean, I'm just really excited about it personally for me to have sort of, I don't know why I never thought to look for that stuff before, those online blood tests. But so I've used it, I've done two tests now with that. I've done a vitamin test, which tests vitamin D and vitamin B, and I've done a male hormone test. Male hormone test came back great. That isn't really nothing to do with the diet, but all of my numbers were pretty much right where they're supposed to be. I have a little bit high on prolactin, I think, one of those things. Not much, just like very ever so slightly out of range. And from the reading I've done, it's nothing to be concerned about. I have an appointment with my doctor in a couple weeks, I think, maybe a month, something like that. And so I'll follow up with him on that. But those numbers, it was really reassuring for me to get those. I was really appreciative of this service. I've been asking my doctor actually for that male hormone test for a couple years, and we've always had other stuff to do, and he didn't feel like it was part of the bigger picture, so he's been reluctant. And I think he's also working hard to get the things that I do need done, paid for through my insurance. So I feel like he's been a real partner and with me in that. He wasn't not testing me because, you know, he just was trying to make sure we were doing the best for me, I believe. At any rate, I'm excited about the tests. And so I did that one, and then I did the vitamin test, and that one was interesting. I came back with low vitamin D. My vitamin E was perfect, vitamin B was perfect. They test a few of them, but they were all good. I'll have to go back and check, but the vitamin D was a little low. So I did. I bought some supplements, and I'm going to take those. I took my first one. Oh, I guess I forgot to take one yesterday. I'm not used to that. But I'm going to try taking some vitamin D, see if I notice any difference in how I feel. I'm not worried about the numbers saying that I'm low or saying that I'm high. But if it indicates that I could maybe improve by trying something, I'll try it. So I'm trying that, and we'll see if it makes any difference or not. So I'm not sure if this is working, if it's streaming, but it looks like it might be. It says stream status okay, so hopefully this is working. I did order a new internet service that I'm going to attempt to try, but it didn't. I thought it was going to be here Friday, and my SIM card didn't show up. So hopefully next week we'll be streaming a little faster. If I get this working, I'm going to hopefully be able to show you guys videos and pictures and all that stuff on here. But anyways, I'm going to keep trying. But hey, so let's talk about zero carb. So my week this week, really good. No sick days. Feeling good. Good energy. I've been out cutting firewood every day, which has been great. Oh, it looks like... Did my stream drop? Well, it might have. Maybe I'll have to put this back up afterwards. Well, we'll see. At any rate, I've been busy. I've been working hard, cutting firewood, working on my cars, just sort of feeling good. And it's amazing. I've been just active all day, and it's something that I really noticed the difference, compared to how I was a few years ago. And I'll just find myself, you know, 5 in the evening or afternoon, you know, ready for another chore. And I'm doing it. Oh, thank you, little Viking coach. I really appreciate that. Nice to see you, by the way. Thanks for being here. That makes a big difference, just knowing that it's working. So I've been feeling good. My energy's been great. I've been eating pretty much just my ground beef. Now, this week I cut back on ground beef, and I substituted a ribeye. So I've been eating a ground beef and a ribeye each day. It's good. It's a nice mix of fat and lean, and I think I'm probably eating a little less than I was prior. I'm also making a conscious effort to try not to eat. Kuhner! Hey, bud. How you doing, man? Thanks for being here. So I'm making a conscious effort to try to eat earlier. Like, not eat so close before going to bed. I'm starting to believe that that's part of my issue when I have those sick days. I eat a little too much. I produce a little too much bile. There's too much fat and gristle in there. It can't get digested, but somehow laying down seems to exacerbate all that. And I notice it during the day too. If I eat and I lie down, my stomach starts to hurt. I usually get up before it manifests as anything sick. But so anyways, I'm starting to try and change my eating times to allow me a little more time to digest before I lie down. So at any rate, I've been feeling great. My energy's been super good. And you know, it's interesting. This whole quarantine thing is really sort of brought something to the forefront of my mind, and that is, you know, I've been sitting here kind of evaluating, like, oh, it doesn't feel that different, it's not that bad, and what is the deal here? And I kind of realized that what this is doing, you know, I haven't really been able to go to restaurants for like 3 years. Oh, Kuhner, cool. Yeah, so that works for you too. So Kuhner says, that works for me. Does wonders for your sleep as well, eating my last meal at 4 p.m. Yeah, that's it, Kuhner. That seems to have been a pretty key element for me. It's kind of a balance because I've always, you know, in my lifetime history of eating was always to skip breakfast and sometimes lunch and then just eat a big meal late in the day and go to bed full. That was kind of my whole thing through most of my life. This hasn't been a difficult transition for me, but what I do find is I kind of like, I have to gauge it, you know, so I don't sort of get a little bit hungry, before I go to bed. Cause if I go to bed with a feeling of hunger, then it feels really, that doesn't feel good. I don't sleep well if I feel like my stomach's rumbling at all, but not usually an issue. Even, you know, you don't usually have hunger in between meals on zero carb, but I think it's just a cycle that I've always been in. So yeah, Little Viking Coach asks, so you've been zero carb for 3 years. Yeah, Little Viking Coach, I've been zero carb since February 7th of 2000. I don't remember. 3 years. Was it 17? I guess it was 17. 17, I think. 18, 19, 20. Yeah, so 3 years and a few months. Strict pretty much that whole time. I really haven't cheated, as it were, at all, although I've taken a couple bites of fruit from my property. I've planted like 100 fruit trees or more in the years running up to becoming zero carb. I was a huge gardener and food preserver and really was into self-sufficient living. I had gardens here for 20 years and fruit trees and, you know, permaculture site, really, where I was trying to provide all my own food. At that time, I was trying to do it with some livestock, but mostly growing it. And of course, now I've turned that all around. But yeah, in the last 3 years, I've really eaten nothing but, for the most part, just beef, little bit of bacon once in a while. For a while, I did a long stretch of bacon. It wasn't very good for me. Eggs, occasionally, if I eat them regularly, they don't do me very well. Smoked salmon, fish is good. Beef and lamb are the best, it seems like. Very little pork, if any, other than bacon. No poultry. No dairy. Occasional cheese, actually, once every, maybe twice a year or something, I'll have a little cheese and then usually regret it. Although sheep's cheese seems to be okay. there's my summary, I guess. So yeah, 3 years and it's been great. It's been life changing. I am healthier than I've ever been, in my opinion. I feel better than I've ever been. My energy, my output, my mood is stable. I mean, there's so many benefits. It's unreal. It does come at a little, you know, cost. It's a challenge, for sure, to get into the swing of things. But once you're here, man, it's really easy. I think the only, you know, it would be super easy if the whole world recognized it. The only hard part is you just don't fit into, you know, society's holes that they have for you. So restaurants and social gatherings, things like that, can be challenging to navigate. You learn. There's ways to do all of it. Usually eating beforehand. You know, there's usually meat everywhere. I don't know. It's not a big deal, but yeah, it's been really, really an amazing, profound journey, this zero carb thing. I recommend it to everybody, at least to try it. So you've been off and on, but focusing more strict lately. You've been focusing on steak once a day. Hey, Karen. Nice to see you. Glad you showed up. Yeah, little Viking. You know, it's hard to it's hard to believe until you've been there, and maybe you've been there and maybe you haven't. But there's something dramatically different about near zero carb and strict zero carb. And it takes a few weeks, you know, like if you're strict zero carb for a week and then you have a little cheat and then you're strict zero carb for another week, it's still different. There's something different. I get distracted easily, Keener. Look, I'll probably get distracted right here, but I'll try and come back to that. But there's something different about just meat for an extended block of time than even when it's broken up intermittently. So I would highly recommend, if you haven't done a strict 30 days, just buckle down. You know, there'll be times when you're like, I gotta have a bite of something else, but just tell yourself you can do it for a month. I know you can. And it makes a difference. Doesn't mean you'll stay there. You don't have to tell yourself I'm going strict and I'm never coming back. You know, tell yourself I'm going strict and I'm eating ice cream in 30 days. You know, whatever it takes, just make it a challenge, make it an experiment. Because the thing is you will, your eyes will be opened and you'll learn so much along that journey that your perspective at the end will be so much different than your perspective at the beginning. All you have to do at the beginning is get yourself there. So yeah. So I don't know if you've done strict for a period of time, but man, it's worth it. Those, you know, more meat isn't the same thing as no plants. So Kuhner, yeah, you were distracting me or I did get distracted. And I'll tell you what my thoughts on the restaurant were. I don't know exactly what it was because I've been thinking about it a lot. My thoughts were, and I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know, it's just a thought, is just that the whole world is having to sort of experience what I've experienced for the last 3 years, you know, like no restaurants, right? No. For me, not really any social activities, and it's, I don't know what I'm trying to say with it. It's just been sort of a revelation that I've had this last week, going, oh wow, this doesn't feel different to me because this is what I've always done, and then sort of like digging deeper and going, well, it's not just that I've always done this, now everyone has to do it. And I don't know, I don't really have any point with it, Kuhner. It just was observation that. That I've been sort of unable to participate in the regular, you know, day to day of a normal, what we consider normal life, going out, going to restaurants, meeting friends at the coffee shop, blah, blah, blah. Those kinds of things. I haven't been able to participate in for years. And now kind of the whole world is there. And I don't know. It's just interesting. That's all. So Karen says she's doing prolonged fast again, day 4. Wow. Going strong. Hopefully 30 days. Wow, Karen. Well, I hope that works for you. I haven't ever had to do that or thought that was something that would help me, but hopefully it will help you. I hope so. I know that some people it really does. So that seems awfully long for me. It seems extreme, to be honest. I don't, but this diet seems extreme from the other side too. So I'm not making any judgment calls. I just, that sounds difficult. Excuse me. But I hope it works for you. And you'll give plasma. You're incredible. Excuse me. Jeez, I really got something caught in my throat there. That's incredible, Karen. That's amazing. Good for you. Well, I really hope that that if nothing else, you learn a lot from it and move yourself forward in that way. So I don't think I could do it, Kuhner. Fasting isn't for me. I don't find... A lot of people seem to really feel like it's super valuable. I don't think so. Honestly, I don't believe it. I feel like fasting is a way to stop the damage from those bad diets. But once you're on the proper diet, I don't think there's much advantage to it if you are straight auto, you know, if you're straight carnivore. But yeah, Karen, you do whatever you believe in and experiment. I mean, that's what we're all here for. I am autoimmune and definitely... know that you have to experiment with all of the modalities for yourself or you'll never know. So I absolutely support you. I'm just telling you my feelings personally about me doing it. you want to get rid of it. Yeah. Well, I hope that works. If it does, boy, I will try it too. If you can get rid of your autoimmune, that would be amazing. And I'm hopeful for you, Karen. I'm hoping I'm not being too negative. I just like I said, I believe that the only truth is what you learn for yourself on your along your journey. So hopefully that works for you. I hope you have enough. I hope you're not doing this with already a reduced body mass. Hopefully you have a lot of body mass. I can't imagine the 30-day fast if you're already, not carrying much fat would be very beneficial. I don't see how that would be if you're already really reduced in your mass, which a lot of autoimmune people are, but a lot of other autoimmune people go the other way and they end up being carrying too much weight. I was on that side where my symptoms of autoimmune, as soon as I'm inflamed, I just start getting abdominal adiposity. That's what I'm trying to say. So for me, my autoimmune manifests as sort of, holding water and then eventually building fat. And so, yeah, fasting probably be good for me. Wow, no water for 4 days? Wow, Karen. 5'11" and... Oh, Karen. I'm worried about you, hon. Jeez. Wow, that seems awfully slender to be fasting for 30 days, Karen. I'm sorry, I'm not judging you. I hope the best for you. And you do what you feel like you need to do and monitor yourself carefully, but... Wow. That's, yeah. Well, more power to you. I couldn't do it. I really believe that, like I said, that this diet is really the key to healing. That the fasting is really a modality that works for people who are damaged by, the foods they eat more than that. But I sure hope that you get that back, Karen, and I hope you get some weight back. 30 days of fasting at such a low BMI. Please be careful. It doesn't sound wise to me, honestly. I would love it if you ate more first. I don't know how you do that. I understand autoimmune. I've been there. I know. I'm sorry. I don't mean to judge. I know. Autophagy is a big deal. But I believe it happens... when we're in our carnivorous eating patterns too. I don't believe you need to fast to achieve autophagy. All the studies I've shown that, or I've read on autophagy, seem to indicate that it happens once you reach ketosis. And so, I personally believe that autophagy, I'll just say it again. I believe that while fasting is touted as being super beneficial, it's touted that way in a carb-centric society. And I believe that we achieve those same benefits through carnivory. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm probably wrong, almost for sure. But that's kind of... That's my take on that, is that once you've achieved, zero carb living, that fasting stops having as many benefits. Now, a lot of carnivores, we do, people call it, call in a one meal a day cycle a fast. I don't really feel like it's a fast, but I do feel like it's very natural. I've gravitated naturally towards one meal a day without any motivation to get there. So yeah, okay, good, Karen. As long as you have people around you and you seem super smart. I'm sure you're watching out for yourself. I just, it's just natural to be concerned when anyone is underweight and then undertaking a fast. So please be careful, but I know you will. And I'm glad you're here with us because I would like to learn from you. So please do keep sharing about that journey. It's really fascinating, despite my apprehension. I'm interested, and especially since you and I share, some... parts of her condition or whatever. I'll be super curious to hear your, how your progress goes. So best of luck to you on that. And come back and eat a bunch of fat meat when you get back, please. When you get back to eating. So that was my kind of thought for the week, was really just that quarantine thing. It's really been interesting for me to evaluate how I'm feeling about all of it, how it's affecting sort of, you know, I don't have much of a perspective on the outside world. So, oh, wow, Karen, that was really 49 kilograms at that same height at 5'11". Wow. Yeah, I mean, so you're better than now than you were then. And I did, I experienced that same thing 4 years ago when I really got to my peak of my illness. I was 120 pounds, which is probably about that same. I'm not sure how many that is in kilograms. But I think now I'm, I want to say now I'm like 65 kilograms, 140 pounds, something like that. So I know what that's like. And that's a hard place to be in. And that's, I mean, I get it. You have been much skinnier than you are now. So yeah. Well, I shared, you can watch my, you know, all my earlier ones, journal, even going back to 1 and 2 and 3, I really kind of give you the foundation of my story. But, yeah, in, 2015, I think I was, really sick, you know, going to the bathroom 20 times a day, you know, I mean, it was awful. I was bleeding and so I started to make changes. I started to kind of play with my diet and work out and I kept deteriorating. And so by about, I guess it was 1 year later, 2016, probably about the first of 2016, somewhere around there. I don't know if I have my dates right, but, I got to where I just really couldn't eat much at all. I was bleeding on the toilet, and I was on the toilet all day. And then that was manifesting as like losing consciousness on the toilet. So I'd fall off and wake up on the bathroom floor in a pool of sweat and blood. And I mean, it was horrible, vomiting. And I mean, I quit work. I stopped working. I sold everything I owned. I, you know, was sure I was going to lose my property. That's why I built this little shack. Moved out of my house. It's down there rented now because I, you know, didn't know how I was going to make a living. And, yeah, so I started seeing my doctor. I was there every other week. And just kind of getting worse and worse. I got down to about 120 pounds. And right about then I found Zero Carb. And here I am, 20 pounds heavier. So, yeah, no, I gave up everything. Yeah, Karen, that's it. That's why I'm here. That's why I started doing this. You know, when I was so scared in 2015 or 16, I was bleeding. I was on the toilet all day, losing consciousness, in so much pain. And I couldn't find any answers, and I didn't know about, autoimmune disorders. I had heard the word Crohn's and stuff like that. Yeah, Zero Carb saved my life for sure. There's no question. I mean, you can just go back and watch. I have my other video channel, Bro Audio. You can watch some of my videos from like 8 years ago and see it clearly how sick I was. You know, acne I just looked awful. I felt awful. I was totally depressed. Hives on my waistband and night sweats and blistery bumps on my fingers that would just, I could just go like this and like rub the skin off. Same thing inside my cheeks, white, loose skin, blistery pus bubbles now and then. I could just like go inside and take the skin off the roof of my mouth. I mean, the symptoms are endless. Night sweats. I mean, I used to wake up just bathed in sweat. I remember passing out at a friend's house. I lost consciousness in a flare and woke up and they thought I had wet the bed because it was so wet. I mean, so many symptoms. My life was a mess. So yeah, so found Zero Carb. Everything turned around instantly, unbelievably. I didn't expect it. I was just trying to not be on the toilet and my lifetime of depression cleared up, you know, and I started being able to see kind of like why I failed at all my relationships and pushed people away and always had to go hide in my little diarrhea cave and yeah, in Crohn's, erythemalgia, I don't know what that one is, huge infection behind your teeth. So, yeah, so it wasn't until, you know, four years ago, that I started to really sort of figure it out. I did get a colonoscopy. It was months after I had started zero carb. I was in remission. So my scope came back clean at that time. I hadn't bled for probably 6 months at that time. So, you know, my doctor, he is operating under the assumption that it's Crohn's, but because I found zero carb before I got a diagnosis, I probably never will get a diagnosis unless I go back to getting sick again. It'll come up in my mind. I'll be like, should I do that? And no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go get sick, just to get a diagnosis to verify that I'm doing the right thing. You know, that's kind of the, and Backpacking Granny, if you watch these, that was very helpful of you to point that out, to me, that's the end result of getting that diagnosis. And I just circle back around to here again. So, Kuhner, I'm glad that Karen found it too. I'm really hopeful it helps. And yeah, Karen, failed relationships and anxiety attacks. Yeah. You know, I look back on my history and I go, oh, that's what that was. You know, I didn't recognize it at the time, but I always knew there was something like that I needed to fix, that there was something wrong that I didn't have the answer to. I had always had diarrhea. I didn't connect that with whatever I thought was wrong. But once I got to be, you know, 45 and started to figure it out, I was like, oh, that's the thing that was, you know, in my mind, it was in my brain that was wrong, which it was. I mean, I was depressed. I suffered from depression forever because of my gut issues. And once my gut issues were solved, then my mental issues kind of got better. And then all of a sudden I looked back and went, oh, that's why I pushed everyone away. I always needed to go hide and, you know, be by myself. And that came from spending so much time, I think, and needing to spend so much time in the bathroom and being embarrassed about it from being a little kid. I wasn't embarrassed about it when I got older, but that just being a little kid, that just shaped my whole who I am and how I approach the world. And so I would always leave myself out to be able to sneak away to a bathroom, you know, and spend a lot of time in there. When I was 7 or 8, my friend Billy McIntyre, why do you spend so much time in the bathroom? And I remember it sticks in my brain because I was really self-conscious about that. And my other friend Matt, same thing, you know, pestered me about bathroom habits when we were little kids, 10. And yeah, the mind and body, I mean, I know that now, Karen. I mean, I didn't believe it for the longest time, but once my gut issues cleared up and my mental issues, it was so patently obvious. I could not deny it anymore that my brain is definitely dictated. My mood is definitely dictated by my gut. And it's all, I mean, I feel like a new person. It definitely saved my life. So that's why I'm here. You know, I'm going to keep sharing my story. And if I can help anyone along the way, if I had found someone like me when I was in my time of need, I would have been so, you know, thankful that they had shared that story. So that's what I'm doing this for. And it's been great for me too. It's been really profound. Having you guys here supporting me has just been amazing. Yeah. Yeah, I did. You know, I thought I ate well forever, Karen. I was so focused on healthy food for the last few decades that it was so shocking to me when I found out that it was my food that was causing my illness. You know, I'd been growing my own food and canning my own food. It was all like organic and so wholesome, and come to find out, not so much. So, so that's, that's that. So I don't know. Are you guys able to get out these days? I'm pretty much stuck at home. My state is starting to open up, but that just means that there's exponentially more people everywhere. Like, it almost just seems like it's worse to go anywhere now. And of course I live in the recreational area, so all the people from the city are coming here now that the, you know, roads are open and stuff. So it's just crowded as can be out on the beaches and stuff. So I've been kind of just staying home and laying low. And yeah, Karen says she was a vegan. You were a vegan for 20 years, Karen. And yeah, that's it. You know, thought you were doing the best for yourself and come to find out it wasn't the case. And that would be me. That was my path as well. Yeah, Kuhner, you're stuck, huh? Yeah, me too. So, yeah, I have a car, but like I said, anywhere I go, so that's just it. I live where I don't really need a car, right? I can go out, get on my bike and go out the road and go up the mountain but everyone from Seattle is driving out here with their bikes because they have to put their bikes in the car. And so I don't know if it'd help you, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You'd just end up out there with all the other people with cars at the same place. And yeah, that veganism totally destroyed you, Karen. I believe it. I mean, that's kind of what I feel like too. You know, I was pretty much living those last years running up until being sick. I was the bulk of my calories. I was really trying to grow my own calories. So it was like, I was eating a ton of brassicas, lots of cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, all different forms of it, kale. And you know, those things are so fibrous and so difficult on our digestion. Didn't realize it, but I think that's really what tore me up badly. So Karen, you get to go everywhere on your bike. That's good. I'm a little far from town. It's getting to be that time of year I can do it, and I probably will start. I'm not that far. Maybe it's about a 12-mile round trip, maybe a little more. A lot of hills. But yeah, and Kuhner, I was thinking about you actually because I was thinking about gyms and climbing gyms, and they're going to be closed for a while. And I know that that what you do where you are, I imagine, is probably mostly climbing gym limited, right? Like you have to go a long ways to get out of your flatlands and find a natural outdoor climbing space. I'm imagining. I don't know. I'm just guessing that in Belgium, you have to drive down to, I don't know, Switzerland or something. Poland. I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, I got a feeling that that for you to find some outdoor rocks is kind of tough. And the gyms are going to be closed, man, for sure. That's tough. So maybe Kuhner, do you have some rings? Or I can't remember. We talked about body weight. Actually, I think we did. I think you do body weight stuff at home. I think we've talked about that before. It's not climbing, but it'll keep you at least keep your strength there. So Little Viking Coach says there is a channel called Vegan Deterioration. Who she highlights the health destruction of vegans. Yeah. Little Viking Coach, I've watched. I don't know if I've watched hers. I don't know if I've watched that channel, but I've watched some of those. You know, where they're kind of like you can picking on their the way their teeth start to go over time, and I can only watch so much of that stuff because, I mean, it's good, right? Like it's information that I wish we could get to them, but it's painful. To the, you know, there's so many young ideologues like I was and like Karen was when she was young, and wish we found those people when we were younger. But at the same time, it's man, it's a hard balance, conveying that information in a way that doesn't come off as totally attacking. That's hard to do. I don't know, you know, how we help those people. I feel pretty strongly like just putting the information out there in a positive way. And then everyone just has to kind of find it on their own. I mean, I think we have to go through our vegan phases and our vegetarian phases, at least right now, in our current paradigm of nutritional information out there. You know, everyone's going to find fruits and veggies as the path to health before they find meat, for the most part. And I think you just got to go down that path. And for some people, it seems okay. I mean, I think they'd do better if they were carnivores. They just don't know it. But it also doesn't seem to necessarily wreck everybody the way it did me. I don't know. I don't know. I can't. It's hard to make sense of, right? Like, on the one hand, sometimes I feel so strongly that this is the only way that we can really truly eat and be truly healthy. And then, you know, I take a step back and look at people I know who seem just fine for the most part. I mean, and then I say that, and then I know that they don't actually seem just fine to me. If I really pick at, you know, the little details, they don't have the same sort of vibrancy that the carnivores I see do and things like that. Anyways, I don't know. So Kuhner can do outdoor climbing in Belgium. France, yeah, France has tons of awesome climbing. I knew that. I didn't know Belgium did. Oh yeah, Belgium has mountains that border there. I guess I did know that. I didn't even think about it. And rings, man, rings are so awesome. I keep trying to tell people to get on the rings when they complain about their gym being closed, and I don't think people understand how much resistance you can apply with rings. I think people just think like it's like a, oh, it's, you know, like a little jog or something. I'll just, you know, it'll just kind of hold me off until I can get back in the gym. But I mean, it is, you can do some heavy lifting with those rings. I'm a lifer, man. I love those things. So a little Viking coach says, need more protein as we age to avoid sarcopenia. I 100% agree, little Viking coach. I think that's one of the biggest crimes, I don't know, misinformation, you know, deals of our current nutritional paradigm that drives me out of my mind is even people who, you know, from all sides of the spectrum, a lot of people buy into that protein accelerates mTOR, accelerates aging bullshit, excuse me. You know, that's just, that is BS, man. Like Karen says, told your parents that as well, more protein. That's exactly right, man. We got to keep, is it Dr. McGuff who talks about the time under the curve, you know, your active part of your life where you, you know, you don't want to get to the end of your life and just have to sit in a chair for years. I mean, what good is the rest of the end of your life? You can't do anything, right? So more protein, right? Less sarcopenia. Keep that, you got to keep that muscle mass up. Once you lose it, I got firsthand experience, you guys. It's not fun to see someone lose their muscle mass because they, the motivation to get it back is what is lacking. They, in my experience, don't believe that they can get it back, so they don't try. Nothing could be further from the truth. We retain the ability to create muscle as long as we're alive. So yeah, eat a lot of protein when you get older. Keep exercising. I mean, that's my take. I'm on this train for life now, you guys. That's how I feel about it. I wasted a lot of years, kind of just thinking that I was fit enough. So I'm going to continue to work on it. And, yeah, Karen does their grocery shopping. That's awesome. Karen says, I do their grocery shopping, meeting her parents. And so I sneak in more meat for them. That is awesome. That's exactly right. So I've been working on my folks too. You know, I will admit though, that I don't know. I'm not 100% confident that more meat is better than, less meat in a mixed diet. I'm not sure. I currently kind of believe that the carbs are the problem, but as soon as you're mixing carbs and meat, you know, the carbs are the poison, but if you're putting that poison in your body, then it compromises your ability to process the meat correctly, and that's why the meat gets the bad rap. And, you know, I don't think it's necessarily doing the, like, heart attack thing that people say is doing, but I definitely think our bodies have a hard time processing meat in the presence of a carbohydrate metabolism. And so I have friends who, when I talk about this, they go, yeah, I'm just going to eat more meat. And I'm like, I don't know that that's a good idea. I mean, I don't know if it's not, I don't know one way or the other, but that's not what I'm proposing. I'm proposing no carbs. This is all meat or something else entirely, not just more meat again. If you're low carb, more meat for sure. And rebuilding muscle in older age is really hard. Like, I'm living proof of that. I mean, I'm not that old, but it's hard to build muscle. It's been a long, slow battle to gain weight. But yeah, if they're low carb, then more meat. I have friends who are not low carb and they see what I'm doing. They go, oh, cool, I'm just going to eat more meat. And it does. It kind of concerns me. I don't know if it's better or worse. I just don't know. So, and your father has pancreatic cancer. Interesting. Low carb diet for him has been beneficial, it sounds like. That's interesting. Good for you for taking such good care of him, Karen. That's amazing. I'm glad they're so supportive too. That's really neat that you have them around you and that you can do your fasting and continue on your path. I'm so curious. We'll do this every week and I'll be really curious to hear how you're doing. I wonder how Jackie's doing with her bacon, with her lack of bacon. Looks like she's not here today, but I'm curious about that too. So keeping track of all you guys. Well, let's see, you guys. Anything else? Got any more questions or topics we should talk about? Oh, he's doing better. Good. I'm glad, Karen. That's awesome. That is super good. Looks like my stream is working pretty well this time. So I really cranked down the resolution. So starting to get it figured out. And next week, I'll have my new Wi-Fi, and maybe it'll be better. I'm not super hopeful, but... Yeah, so here's Kuhner saying, interesting, one, he wonders about that too, meaning the balance of meat and carbohydrate in a metabolism, because on the other hand, it feels intuitively right to get someone to eat more of the nutrients that meat has. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I'm not saying I know for sure that you shouldn't do that. It's entirely possible, and I'm inclined to believe what you just said, that like, well, if nothing else, at least they're going to be getting like tons more protein and more bioavailable nutrients, and so the meat's probably net positive. But if they're sitting there, my one great friend who I love so dearly, he was really close to carnivore with me, but he's like, the one thing I like to do is I love to eat French fries. French fries. And then we went out to breakfast, and he got his carnivore breakfast, and he had a big plate of hash browns. And I was like, well, I mean, the more meat, good. But then more meat in the presence of a giant pile of starchy carbohydrate, fried. To me, what I see happening is I see the body prioritizing the carbohydrate processing, right? Just like it prioritizes alcohol processing. So it prioritizes carbohydrate processing. And in so doing, it's going to shuttle all that fat into the cells and yada, yada, yada. So I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I'm coming around of the inclination that carnivory is the ultimate human diet, but not necessarily more meat in a mixed diet is better. Although at some point it changes over, right? Like, I think the way that Americans used to eat in the 20s and 30s is probably pretty close. Well, I'm stretching that a little because we had margarine and whatever there, but you know, maybe a little earlier. But traditional diets in the West, even Germany and in the 1800s, you know, you could look at menus from there and they were, side dishes were sides, right? Like the vegetables were sides. The meal was the meat. I think we lost track of that. So I don't know. Now I'm really off track. But I guess basically what I'm trying to say is that same thing. Yeah, all meat, super healthy. All plants, maybe not so bad. Mixing the two, I think... problematic. Mixing the two, lots of plants, little bit of meat, really bad. Mixing the two, lot of meat, tiny bit of plants, probably good. Anywhere in between is a gray area. Now, those are just opinions. I have no proof of that, but that's just how it feels to me. So, and then Little Viking Coach asked, do I drink coffee? I don't. I did. I grew up in Seattle, you know, I grew up in Seattle in the 80s, in the 70s, 80s and 90s. I grew up in Seattle when Starbucks was founded. My friends were, you know, some of the first employees there. We drank coffee. I drank so much coffee. I was so addicted to coffee. I remember my mom, if you watch this, I apologize, but you got me hooked on coffee when I went away to college. Almost like it was like a rite of passage. And I loved it. I mean, I'm not blaming her. And I loved it. And I always got coffee for Christmas and drank coffee. I had my burr grinder and my millions of ways to make it. I was a total coffee aficionado. So 3 years ago when I went through this process of going to carnivore, I really wanted to figure out how things affected me. And so I dropped coffee and it was so difficult. It was the hardest thing I've ever tried to quit. Harder than not drinking, harder than not smoking cigarettes. Those are the only things I really had to try and quit, but I didn't really smoke cigarettes even very for long, so that didn't count. But at any rate, coffee was so hard. But I dropped it, and I'm glad I did. I can drink it once in a while. I probably had 2 cups this last year, and it's fine. I like it. But it didn't really negatively affect me when I was addicted to it, but I didn't like being addicted to anything. You know, it affected my mood every day, right? Like, for better and for worse. Often for better, but it only was better because it was worse before. And so once I got rid of it, you don't have the better and worse, you just kind of have the stable, and that is a much better way to live, in my opinion, for me right now. So I dropped it, and I miss it and don't miss it. Sometimes I'm like, that'd be a nice routine, and then I'm like, but then it's your routine forever. So until you, you know, I mean, getting off of that was like 2 weeks of hell. It was so hard to quit. So I don't think I'll be going back. And as Karen says, it drains your adrenals. I mean, there's positives and negatives to coffee. There's positive and negatives to coffee, I believe. And I do think it drains your adrenals. I do think it lowers your ability to feel, you know, its excitement over time. But I don't know. It seems to have some benefits too. For me, it really just came down to not wanting to be addicted to something. And I smoke pot. I like drugs, as it were. But I don't like being addicted to stuff. You know, I don't like something that I have to have at a certain time. Positives of coffee? It's a blood thinner. Diuretic. It's definitely a stimulant, right? And some people wouldn't see it as a positive, but there's times when stimulating your brain activity is a net positive when you're studying or something like that. I think mood modifiers can have benefits. And coffee, you know, I can't go into it scientifically, Karen, but there's a lot of studies that do talk about coffee as being net positive to things like Alzheimer's or blood pressure. You know, those studies probably have as much weight as any other epidemiological study, but there are studies out there that point to coffee being beneficial. Other than the drug part of it, but actually just the nutrition. That's the caffeine we're talking about as the drug. And I think there's some positives to the caffeine. The downside is it's super addictive and, you know, I don't want to be there. But I think there's some positives nutritionally to the coffee. At least it's touted. There are some that are touted. Whether they're true or not, I don't know. I think it's probably such a minor thing. It doesn't matter either way. It probably goes both ways. And then I'm going to go back to Karen saying, I would say no mixing carbs with meat, but maybe two separate meals. I would never go back to vegetables because they made me so sick. But some people do well with a bit of fruit and meat in two separate meals. Exactly, Karen. Yeah, I see that. And I see people says I'm doing fine with them in the same meals. And so, I don't know. You know, the diet that I came to zero carb from was the specific carbohydrate diet, which is a diet that is now pretty much targeted towards Crohn's disease people. There's a book called, I don't remember what it's called, but a woman wrote a book a few decades ago and sort of touted the diet. And then recently, a very, very well-respected doctor at the University of Washington, the head of gastroenterology and head of Seattle Children's Hospital Pediatric Gastroenterology Division. So he's a great gastroenterologist, and he wrote a book about that same diet, the specific carbohydrate diet. And so I came here from that diet, and that diet was pretty much just meat and fruit. It was high-carb meat and fruit. And over time, I became concerned with that because fructose, you know, the way we process that in the liver messes with our ability to deal with the fats in the liver. You can end up with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So I kind of thought that specific carbohydrate diet wasn't trending in a good direction for me with regards to those things. But my gut markers were getting better for the most part. So I slowly started to wean down the carbs, go to the all meat, and that's kind of how I ended up here. Yeah, I don't know about eating them at separate times, Karen. I don't know. I still think that if it's separate times within the same day that you're still operating on a carb metabolism, and personally, I don't think it's healthy. I feel like your metabolism is kind of one or the other. I mean, we're not that black and white, but we all know that this transition phase to carnivory takes a few weeks to really get there. So I think anytime you're in that middle phase, you're sort of giving your body more work than it needs. So I don't know if that's true or not. Those are just opinions. But I'm going to read up here. Kuhner says, been addicted to pot. You can do it once in a while now. I'm glad you can, Kuhner. I'm a heavy pot smoker sometimes, and sometimes I'm not. But I've never felt that it was something that I've been addicted to. I won't say it's like nothing to not do it if I've been heavy into it. But it certainly isn't a big deal to just say, nah, I'm not going to have any for a week or a month or whatever. And the first day I'm kind of like, well, it's a little tough. But usually by the second or third day, I don't even think about it. And then usually by like a week or two, I don't even want it. and I almost have to convince myself to try it again. So for me, that one's been, and I'll tell you, I really believe that I became a pot smoker as a young guy because it made a noticeable difference on my guts. At the time, I didn't consciously correlate those. Like, I'm not saying that when I was 20, I was like, I smoke pot because my heart guts hurt. But now when I got to be 45 and looked back on my life, I went, oh, yeah, this is definitely, you know, especially reading Crohn's forums now and IBD forums now and knowing what a big difference CBD especially and THC can make for patients of suffering from those. I know that for sure I was self-medicating a lot of my life because of my illness without having been, you know, really consciously aware of it. So MB Farm Girl, hey, nice to see you. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. This is so cool. We got more folks. So coffee is the one thing you can use to get relief from headaches, as I cannot take normal headache meds like aspirin or Tylenol. That's interesting, MB Farm Girl. I haven't taken any pills other than like my vitamin D supplement or whatever since I've been carnivore. So no Tylenol or aspirin for me either. And I bet that coffee's a good headache remedy, as long as you can stay away from it long enough in between. You know, if you just do it once a week, it might be causing the headaches. But if it's every, you know, once a month or something like that, I think it's probably great. And Ted Naiman eats carbs only in his last meal of the day. Yeah, I'm not the biggest Ted Naiman fan. No offense. I like him. I like a lot of what he's, I mean, I like him personally, like not that I know him personally, but I don't dislike him is what I'm trying to say. I like his style. I like what he puts out there. I like his approach. He's funny. He's smart. He looks great. He's really, you know, inspiring in a lot of ways. But I do think I don't think he's ever given carnivory a fair shot. And I think he's closed-minded. I haven't followed him for last year, so maybe he's come around. But a year ago, he was pretty closed-minded about carnivory, and he was. I don't think he ever gave it a fair shot. He pretends like he tried it, but he never really did. That I saw, not for any long period of time, because he just believes his own bias too much. He's always said from years ago when he didn't believe in it at all, and he's never really, at least he hadn't up until recently, hadn't changed that that adding carbs was always better. So I don't know, not a big fan. I guess I just said it. So white willow bark for tea headaches, yeah, that's where aspirin comes from, right? Karen is from willow bark. And Kuner says pot has been self medicating for me too during that time, but mostly because of depression, and probably thanks to zero carb, you can now do it just a bit. Yeah, I mean, same deal, and all part and parcel of the same package, right, Kuner? That's what I thought I was self-medicating for with the pot. Like, when I was a young guy, I thought I was self-medicating with depression and anxiety and sort of social anxiety. It's really funny, you guys. My job throughout my youth was salesperson. Like, whether it was in a retail store, then I was a sales rep. And I was good at it, right? Like, I could go into stores and I could do clinics in front of these 20 strangers, and like, they would all be my best friends at it. Everyone, you know, thought I was just like the social. I was always the center of the attention, and I would throw those huge parties and all that stuff. I had to. It was my job. I was always so just overwhelmed with social anxiety during all of that. It was just a mask that I learned how to put on to be able to deal with those situations. And that mask was so good that people thought I was like socially gifted. But in truth, I was always super anxious. And so anyways, going back to that, yeah, I thought I was self-medicating with pot for depression and anxiety. Once I got on this journey, I realized that depression was caused by my gut issues. And then when I really started having like the blood and the pain, I started using CBD supplements, and they made a significant and dramatic impact on my urgency. I don't have that anymore, like the symptoms of the Crohn's, you know, like the urgency, the clenching butthole, and diarrhea, you know, and sitting on the toilet all day and not really going. CBD helped that instantly. So I didn't figure that out until I was like 45. But anyways, just going back through time, I think that all my life I was medicating sort of things I was not conscious of. I don't know. So, yeah, so Little Viking Coach says my opinion on Sean Baker or Paul Saladino. Okay, so Sean Baker is my guy. I mean, I just love his approach all the way, 100%. We started Zero Carb at about the same time. I think he started in December, and I started in February. I wasn't aware of him when I started. I think he started getting on social media about maybe like a year after, or 6 months after he started Carnivory, and I was about the same. So we sort of arrived on Twitter and the social media scene at the same time. So I watched him start to kind of say the things he says and do the things he does and sort of grow. You know, he went from, when I started following him on Twitter, he was like, just like me, like 1,000 followers or something. And I just loved his message. I've loved his message ever since. Like, he's a real inspiration to me because of the way he presents his message. Not always with the attacking of the opposite sides, although I understand why he does that. It's not my deal, but I understand, you know, he's like, we got to take this back. But I really just appreciate his no-nonsense style of eat meat, drink water. You know, he kind of goes back to the old guard, right? Like Charles Washington at Zero Carb Health, who always just said, eat the meat you like and can afford. Don't worry about the ratios. Don't worry about the macros. Don't sweat the details. Just stay the course and you'll get better. Once you've been eating meat and water, you know, a year down the road, you'll start to identify the details and you can tease the nuance out of it. But for now, just keep it simple. And so Sean Baker says those things his message is so strong, so simple. Love it. Paul Saladino, I can't get behind. And it's for the exact reasons in the way that he's the opposite of Sean Baker. I like Paul, his approach. I like he seems like a good guy. He seems enthusiastic and committed and knowledgeable and all of those things. What I don't like about Paul Saladino is he's new to carnivory. And he's getting much better now that he's been down this path. He's been down the road for a little while. But the thing that I don't care for about Paul is that he started his journey, and he kind of started it online on social media. So he was sort of new when he started. And he believed his own beginner's beginner's falsehoods, I guess. Things like you have to eat liver and organ meats, or you know what I mean. Like he started in carnivory and he went, I'm going to be the science guy. I'm going to look at the science. I'm going to look at RDAs, you know, recommended daily allowances. And I'm going to look at where you find those. He kind of did like the Frank Tufano thing. And I can't stand it. I don't think you can look at nutritional recommendations and then say, okay, so that means I should eat 4 grams of liver. And, you know, and Paul really went hard on that. He went hard on the optimal carnivore narrative. And I don't believe it. I think it's BS. And I think he's starting to realize it's BS as he's further down this path. And he's, to his credit, he's a big enough guy. And I don't watch him, so I could be way off base. Because these are opinions that I've formed, like, on older social media things that they've posted, so I haven't kept up with them. So I apologize, Paul, if I'm misrepresenting you. But yeah, you know, I really strongly believe in the Charles Washington style of carnivory, of helping people in carnivory, and that is keep it simple, keep it strict, stay the course. And you'll find which details matter to you as time goes on. But to try and place restrictions or, you know, to try and overlay some parameter, some framework of nuance to the diet in the early days with musts or shoulds, I don't know. That's where I get frustrated with Paul, because he's got a whole new generation of zero carbers kind of believing like they need to source grass fed or they have to eat liver or brains or, and he's, I know he's getting better along about those things. And supplements and vitamin D and, you know, I've always been of the mind that eat the meat you like. The meat is a complete, nutritionally complete. And if it's not, you'll know and you can react or you can evaluate, you know, you can monitor your progress and react. But I think the worst thing to do is to, paleo medicine is a great example. I just think the worst thing you can do is to put strict parameters on like a fat ratio, because you'll have a large percentage of people who, though, that type of carnivory won't work for. And if they think that's the only kind that works and it's all or nothing, then they'll just think that carnivory is not for them. And that's kind of my issue with Paul Saladino, is that by narrowing the framework and by making the parameters more strict and including the you shoulds and you shouldn'ts and you're wrong if with no liver and those kinds of things, you restrict access. And I think zero carb, you know, we need to make it accessible to everybody, as easy for people to do as possible. I mean, if you like hearing that you need to eat liver and it means that you do, and you know, that's great, more power to you. But you know, I just wish it was presented. Basically, it all boils down to my biggest frustration with Paul Saladino being that he's the science-based carnivore in a world where there is no carnivore science. So he's just as far off as the people who are anti-carnivore using studies, in my opinion. We don't know. And so I get frustrated when people say we need this much and this is how this works in a carnivore and, you know. That's all. I know less than him, for sure. So don't get me wrong. Like, he's a super valuable resource. I'm super glad to have him in the community. We could be doing a lot worse. But I definitely lean more towards the Sean Baker style. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, Keener, I know. We're getting there. So I'm, you know, it's, I got to thank you guys. Thank you for dealing with me on the Growing Pains on the live channel, on the live stream. I'm really limited by my internet, and it's a real big point of frustration for me. And I'm going to keep hammering and trying and get through it, because I feel like this sort of interactive hangout is really what we should be doing. It's so much more valuable, I think, to all of us. So, yo, hit that like, bros, get the bell, subscribe. I don't think I've ever done that, little Viking coach, but exactly. Oh, it's so funny, you guys. This whole thing is really challenging to navigate, to be honest with you. You know, that that video I made this week with the blood test thing, I mean, that felt, if it was really honest, it didn't feel bad at all. It was very real. It was really just me sharing that. But when they approached me and said, hey, do you want to do this partnership thing? You know, I mean, it just, it's so hard to navigate. But at the same time, I did. I felt like it was something I could offer you guys and it would be helpful. And it does help me. I mean, I'm pretty sure I lost my living out of this COVID thing. I don't think I'm going back to work on the boats, at least not anytime soon. So, I mean, I won't lie. I'm definitely, you know, looking towards these YouTube and blog types of things as at least something, in the future. I don't, it's not going to do much, but you know, any little bit of income helps. So anyways, this is a safe space on YouTube, Kuhner, and no, I won't start doing that. Yeah, I can't stand Frank Karen. he's the one who gets under my skin the most. And it's for the reasons I just said. His ego, his belief that he knows the right way to do it, his belief that there's a wrong way to do it. I mean, just that alone is enough to should make you want to run away, I think. He's been, you know, I started watching him years ago when I was first starting, and he just, he's not stable. Like, he just goes on these crazy sort of rants. But more than that, it's more just that his information, it's more just that the idea that there's an optimal type of carnivore, the idea that there's one right way of doing it, the idea that you have to have liver and, you know, raw, less cooked and more fat, and the grass-fed BS, and the guy was living on like foie gras and then trying to preach about grass-fed. He's the one, actually, of the whole carnivore world, I think he does the most harm to our cause. Yeah, he is intelligent and he is funny. I mean, he is those things. I agree with you. And I, you know, at first I was entertained. But like I said, what really bothers me is the limitations on the diet. You know, the idea that if someone's not eating it raw, they're not doing it right. Or the idea that if someone's not eating liver, they're not doing it right. And they could be much better if they just would eat some liver. Because that's not the case for me. I've tried the liver. I've tried the raw. I've tried the more fat. All those things make me feel worse. Now, there's a lot of people who they make feel better. And so that's just it. I'm not saying Frank's wrong about what works for him. But it's just his ego and in the presentations that it's the one true approach. That's where I have an issue with Frank. I would be all, if he had a different attitude, the same approach, but just like, and this is what works for me, you guys should try some different stuff and see, you know, I'd be all about it. But just that idea that he's got the optimal carnivore and the other carnivores are getting deficient nutrition, and he says crap like that all the time, and, you know, frankly, I think he's dead wrong. I think he's dead wrong. And I don't think he looks very good. I don't think he's a very good, example of a healthy carnivore. He sells online meat. I stopped paying any attention to him back when he was trying to start that. I was wondering if he got going on that. And yeah, and he's always bashing other people. And now you've got me bashing him. So, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to bash him. I got a lot of value out of him. I do think he's smart and funny and entertaining for sure. But, you know, like I said, it's just, if he did what he did and didn't bash other people or didn't, you know, place the way he didn't place his carnivore diet above anyone else's, I'd be fine with it. I mean, it'd be just like if here I am, right? I eat only well done, like so well done, none of you would probably eat it. Like it's burned. Like that's the only beef I eat. It's all cooked, fried, black, hard, like bacon. Truly, that's what I like. My hamburgers, squish them flat, fry them hard, black, till they're like bacon. Ribeye, I slice it as thin as I can, hard, black, cooked like bacon. No supplements, no liver, 3 years, low fat, high protein, overcooked, no supplements, no organs. This is what works best for me. That's all I'm saying. I'd be insane to tell you this was the only way to do carnivory. I'd be insane to tell you this was optimal carnivory and you're going to be way better than those liver-eating fat suckers, you know? But that's essentially what he's doing, and that's where obviously you pushed a button because I've been going on about it for a while. It bothers me. Part of it bothers me, obviously, because I'm self-conscious about the way I eat. In the carnivore sphere, I'm the outsider, and so, yeah, it bothers me. So I guess I just sort of, that was a little deep reveal there. So Little Viking Coach says, you would be a good coach for MeatRx. You could give consultations for extra cash. I haven't looked at MeatRx. I need to go check it out. I know that's Dr. Baker's new thing. I kind of wasn't turned off by the pay thing, like against him, but I just realized it wasn't for me. So I don't even know what they do there, but yeah, I'll have to go check it out. Dr. Baker and I know each other sort of in passing. I think he would know who I am. We spent some time on Twitter together. And I know Karen, I think he does truly want to help people. I just think his ego is just misguided. I mean, like I said, I want to help people too, but I'm not telling you, Karen, you're way off base eating raw meat and organs, you know, that to me, it's the same thing, right? Like what works for me, zero carb, isn't the best for everybody. And I feel the same way about him. And I think everyone has to find it. So MB Farm Girl says, I truly believe everyone has to find what works for them and it will likely be different than anyone else. So telling someone they're doing it right or wrong lowers their credibility, in my opinion. That's it. That's exactly it. That's the nut of it. That's all. That's all I'm saying. You know, I just, there's ways to present it. Ways like, you know, you can say things like, I feel exponentially better when I include liver in my diet. And that's a very different thing than saying you won't be eating optimal carnivore unless you're eating liver. You know, and that's the difference in the delivery. And that's all it is. It's just that simple. But the problem is the delivery comes from what you feel and believe inside. And so that's where my issue comes with, is that he's just showing that ego that he feels there is only one right way to do it. So enough about that. I apologize, Frank. I do think you're a valuable asset on the YouTubes. And I definitely got a lot of great content from watching you, but that's my feeling, you know. Like to, and who knows? There's always hope that people can grow and progress, and I still have a long ways to go myself. So, you know, I still keep trying to eat liver too. So I guess they got under my skin somehow. Every 6 months or so, I try it and usually get sick. but I do try. So, wow, you guys, this is a good one. Good Sunday chat today, you guys. I'm so thankful you guys are all here. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. And thanks for letting me rant. I hope it comes out okay. So I'll look into that coaching for Meat RX, Little Viking Coach. That's interesting. I hadn't really thought about that, doing that, but you know, I've helped a few people in real life in my life, and there's nothing more rewarding than seeing people turn their lives around just with this simple intervention, right? And it's only because, you know, we've been given such bad intel in our normal lives. So all right, you guys, well, I think maybe that's enough. We've been going for an hour, unless you guys keep hanging out. But boy, we got 11 viewers, my max, loving it. So, but I think that's probably enough for today. Come back next week. I'm gonna keep pushing here. I'm gonna keep trying to crank videos out. I would like to make a video showing you guys my vitamin D test levels and talk about that a little bit. It's a network for health coaches. Oh, I thought it was Sean Baker's thing. Oh, okay. Kuhner, I'm glad this stream made your day better, man. I hope that whatever is going on in your life is not too bad. I hope you end up having a good day, man. It's gonna be a good one. Things are pretty weird out there right now, so all we can do is just, you know, stay in the moment, stay positive. I know that there's a lot of issues, a lot of stress out there in terms of work and the future and all that. I know for me, for sure. So maybe you're dealing with some of that, but yeah, you guys stay positive, stay in the moment, and it is Sean's deal. Okay, yeah, Karen, this was great. Thank you for sharing all that you share. Really appreciate it, Karen. Come back and let's hear more about your fast next week. I'll be curious to see how you're doing. So, all right, you guys. I think that's enough, huh? We'll come back next week. Maybe I'll have some new internet. I hope you guys have a really good week. Stay positive. Just stay in the moment if you're not sure about what's going to happen in the future. And I'll be thinking about all you guys. And we'll just stay the course. Try and make some progress. All right, you guys. Thanks so much for listening and watching, and I will see you guys next week. Thanks, everybody. All righty, here goes the outro. Peace, Little Viking Coach. Bye, guys.